Can our clever speaking take from the power of the cross? Well, Paul says that it can. Let's talk about that today in the Word. Good morning and welcome back to Today in the Word. Hi, I'm Glenn Schaefer. And by now, you know, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to be in verse 17 through 29 today, talking on the subject of the power of the cross. I am hungry for revelation of the cross, have been for a number of years, and the cross and the gospel are the same. They go together. The gospel is the power of God. I think we're going to learn about the gospel all through eternity because John said that he saw in the center of the throne one like a lamb that had the appearance of being slain. That means in the center of heaven, Christ's death is ever before us, and we're learning of the power of Christ's death, the cross. You see, sometimes people think, hey, I want to move beyond the gospel. I want to mature beyond the gospel. The gospel brought me to Jesus, but I want to go beyond that. Well, that's a misnomer because you cannot mature beyond the gospel. The gospel is the power of God. The more we grow, the more we understand the completed work of Christ. When he says it is the power of God unto salvation, that's what the word salvation means, deliverance and healing. And our complete forgiveness is in understanding the gospel. So that's how we grow. That's really how we appreciate and grow in Christ, is understanding the cross. So now Paul starts off here in verse 17, saying, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Now, when he says Christ did not send me to baptize, he's referencing what we taught earlier about division in the church, where some said, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul. And he says, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you. He said, except for a couple. And oh, by the way, another one. And he said, outside that, I don't remember. So he was not keeping a list of the people that he had baptized. Now that may bother some of you, but he was not collecting them unto himself. He was not taking pride in that. He was rejoicing that people were following Christ, but he was not making baptism essential to salvation. Now Paul would have believed baptism was important. We believe baptism is important, but he was not making it essential. Baptism is an act of obedience because of salvation. It's not an act to be saved. So he made that clear in his teaching. So right here, he says, God didn't call me to baptize. Now that's a strong statement, but baptism is important. He said, that's not what God called me to do. God called me to preach the gospel. And then he goes on to say, not with words of wisdom of man, lest the cross of Christ should be made no effect. So the gospel and the cross are the same as Paul sees them. Now, these few words here really have a strong impact on me. Not only is Paul saying that baptism isn't essential, but who baptizes you is not essential. We have a discipleship program called Christianity 101. If you're not familiar with it, I'll put it here in the video. It's a 6-week interactive discipleship guide that you can take someone through and that you can go through it yourself. It's real simple. Sometimes people say it's too simple, but you want it simple to help a new convert to grow in Christ. It's 6 weeks. And into the second week, we're talking about water baptism. And we say the ones taking you through this, your sponsor, can baptize you. So we have our people baptize their friends and the people they're discipling. One time I heard someone say, well, since it wasn't done by the preacher, did it work? Was it effective? Did it keep? Oh, yeah. See, baptism is unto Christ, and our baptism is an outward sign of our faith in our heart. So Paul would emphasize this here, and he would support what we're doing as we go and make disciples and every member a minister and every person a preacher. And yes, there's fivefold ministry for equipping the saints so the saints can do the work of the ministry. Now, here in this passage, I want to emphasize too where he says, I was not called or sent to baptize, but to preach the gospel, which is the cross. Now he says, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Now that's interesting. He says, I don't want to be a good preacher. I don't want to be an eloquent preacher in that sense. I don't want to have these words of wisdom that sound great. One translation says to speak eloquently. I mean, I don't know if I've ever heard a preacher say that I don't want to be eloquent. But Paul, he said that. Why? Because he said, I don't want my ability to speak to take from the power of the cross. You see, the power of the cross is in the essence of the gospel itself. The power is not in our ability to communicate eloquently. It's in itself. It's inherent in itself. The power of God is inherent in the message of the cross. That's why he says in verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So those who are perishing, it's foolishness. People don't understand what the cross would be about, the gospel or the cross. Because the cross, we might hang it around our neck, put it on top of buildings and honor it today. But in reality, it was a place of a curse. It would not be spoken in public. It is a damnable thing. And yet God chose the crucifixion of his son, one of the most foolish things. And you see people today not understanding this will say, God must be a cosmic child abuser to punish his own son in order that he might forgive us. They don't understand the gospel. They're doing the same thing. They're blinded. It's foolishness to them. And so they've made God to be another God in their mind. It's really important that as we walk through this, that we see that the gospel is that it is the power of God. Verse 19 says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Now here's what it's saying. Preaching of the gospel and the word will never be seen as something wise and eloquent to the world. And he quotes out of Isaiah 29 and shows that these are spiritual matters. These are not things that you can dispute and get people to believe. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to reveal the gospel. Because he says, where is the wise? The world would look at this. And the Jews were looking for a sign. And the Greeks were looking for wisdom. And Paul said, what we preach does not appeal to either one of them. And God did that on purpose. He did that purposely. Let's read that, verse 22. For Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. God delights in using the opposite of what appeals to man. And if we're not careful in our desire to appeal to our culture relevantly, we will quit preaching the gospel. Now, I understand that we need to communicate to the Athenians the way it would be best to relate to the Athenians. And that's what Paul did when he came into Athens. He said, I see that you are very superstitious. And he noticed their gods. And he began to use that to preach the gospel. But he always preached the gospel. Now, that's important for us to see, that we don't water it down, or that we don't change it, or we try to appeal to the lost other than the cross. That's so important. It's so important. And so that's why he said, also, it's foolishness to them. It's a stumbling block to the Jew. And yet he goes on to say, but those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks. So it doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Greek. If you're in the called, you're going to see it. You're going to hear the gospel. You're going to respond to it because God chooses to use those weak things of men and make them his work. Why does he do that? So that there'll be no one that can glory in the flesh. You see, God does not want anybody to get credit for his work but him. And so he intentionally uses these foolish things. That's why he goes on to say in the next few verses, for you see your calling, talking to the Corinthians, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. He said, just look at yourself. He didn't say there's none that's noble. He said, there's just not many. He said, there's not. Verse 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That's what it's about. It's about God getting all the glory. It's about none of our flesh glorying, whether it's over division, that I baptized so many, I did this, I did that, but rather than we were faithful to preach the gospel and know that it's the power of God and God will use those things because it's unto him. He said, you are in Christ. You became the wisdom of God. You became the righteousness of God. You are that which has been redeemed. And he says, as it is written, he who glorifies, let him glory in the Lord. That's our only glory. Don't you love it? Let's learn of the gospel. Let's meditate on the gospel. Let's pray for revelation of the gospel. Let's share the gospel. Let's preach the gospel. Let's make it very clear that Christ came to this earth. When he died on the cross, he literally not only forgave, but eradicated sin. He became that sacrifice. He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. When he rose from the dead, the scripture says he justified us. So he not only forgave us as if we never sinned, he rose from the dead, death, to declare we're justified just as if we never sinned. You can't beat that. I mean, he takes the fact that he forgives you, fully accepts you, fully holy, fully received and forgiven through his death. The death took care of the sin. But he rose from the dead to declare you justified, just as if you never sinned. Not only took your sin away, but said you never did sin. Oh, man. Oh, man. That is the work of Christ. And that's not all. He walked on this earth perfectly in righteousness with never disobedience. If Jesus had been independent or disobedient one time, we would not be here. As redeemed, he was fully obedient, perfect record of righteousness, the only true Israelite. And now when we believe on him, it says, by faith are you saved. It's through grace are you saved when you believe. So it's through grace he gives that to us. And even the faith we get is from him. But when we respond to that, yes, by grace are you saved when you believe. We trust, that word believe is to trust in the completed work of Christ. That's the gospel. If I look to myself as I'm a pretty good person, if I look, say, hey, I'm not as bad as some people, that's not the gospel. That's not saving faith. That's Glenn Schaefer's religious faith. But I say, no, there's no good in me. No, there's no reason God would choose me. He didn't look down from heaven and say, I see something really good in Glenn. I think I'm going to choose him. No, he didn't see anything good in me worthy of saving. He simply chose before the foundation of the world. And those whom he chose, he called. Those he called, he sanctified. Those he sanctified, he glorified. And so in that, that's the gospel. I need to be able to share the gospel, preach the gospel, and to let God open eyes to see him. We cannot convert people. We can only preach the gospel of the kingdom and let the Holy Spirit convict people unto salvation. Thank you for joining me today in the Word.